The gospel reading is found in Matthew, the first chapter, and it's verse 18 and following. We've been looking at Christmas through the eyes of different people that first Christmas, and this morning I want to focus on Joseph, Christmas through the eyes of Joseph. So listen to this from Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18 and following. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds today. I want to think about Christmas this morning through the eyes of Joseph, but first I want to get started with something a little humorous. On Christmas afternoon, the pastor's wife dropped into an easy chair. She really collapsed and said, "Boy, am I ever tired." And her husband, the pastor, looked at her and said, "I don't know what you mean. I had to conduct 2 special services last night and 3 today, and I had to preach a total of 5 sermons in all. Why are you tired?" And his wife looked at him and said, "Dearest, I had to listen to all of them." Well, hopefully it's nothing bad this morning, but when you think about Christmas sometimes we get caught in the middle of it and we think it revolves around us. And when you think about this first Christmas and you think about Joseph, I mean, Joseph had a difficult role to play in all this. First of all, he wasn't the central figure in all this. I think there's some lessons to be learned from Joseph when we look at this first Christmas. And when you think about Joseph this morning, and first to go through that story, and Matthew really was to highlight Joseph and the role of Joseph. Usually we think about, obviously, Jesus, and we think about Mary, but there's also Joseph. And they were pledged to be married. And so at that time, it was even more serious than our engagement is today. So they were betrothed, is the word they used in that time. And then Mary, of course, the angel appeared to her, and then at the same time, you know, Joseph found out that she'd been expecting a child, and he didn't know what to do with that. Mary hadn't shared all that with him and probably didn't know how to. And this angel appears to Joseph and tells him, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what was conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." You think about Joseph and the faith that it took for him, and I think one of the first lessons to think about Joseph is his humility. I mean, Joseph had to have humility. When we're not the main person in the story in some sense, we have to be humble and realize that, you know, in that sense, he had to realize that Mary took first place in this story and how important that was. And sometimes when we get caught up in the hustle and bustle of Christmas and worrying about our to-do list and all the things that need to be done, we really need to realize that we need to approach the story of God sort of come in this incredible moment where the King of all the universe, the Creator of all that is, came in great humility to become the servant of us all. There's this wonderful story about this little girl Christmas morning, and her mother was busy doing a bunch of things, and she heard her daughter in the other room, just a little girl, and she started to sing Happy Birthday, and the mother thought, "Oh, my dear, the little girl's gotten confused about holidays." And she began to listen a little bit more, and the little girl said Happy Birthday to Jesus. And then all of a sudden she realized that she really did have a meaning in the whole thing. And remember that Jesus said that we have to humble ourselves, and unless we humble ourselves and become like little children, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. And I think there's a sense in which all of us need to humble ourselves and realize that Joseph, in humility, had to say that Mary took first place and that he had to just follow God's plan, even though he didn't understand it. And I think that just leads into the next quality that Joseph had, which is obedience. And you think of all the things that Joseph had to do, even though he didn't understand all of this, he just had to follow faithfully. But he did obey. He obeyed probably even though he didn't understand, even though he saw an angel. And you think about the little things that Joseph did that were really big things in so many different ways. I mean, Joseph, first of all, did what he was commanded, and he married Mary as his wife, even though he didn't understand all these things. He knew that it was of the Holy Spirit. And then he had to lead the way to Bethlehem. And Joseph had to walk all the way to Bethlehem from Nazareth while Mary was on the donkey. And that was a difficult thing. He probably waited until the last moment, hoping that she would have the baby ahead of time, because he didn't want to have the baby on the journey. And she didn't have the baby. And so he put her on the donkey and then led her all the way there. And then once they got there, the whole place was full of people. And Joseph had to go door to door trying to find a place to stay. This is before internet and telephone and computers and all the things you could get on and make a reservation ahead of time. And so he couldn't find everything and finally had to plead this inn. And then once they were given a sort of a place in this little barn, this manger, this stable, then Joseph had to make preparations there and get everything as ready as he could. And then Joseph, that first Christmas Eve, had to be a bit of a midwife. And even though he didn't know what he was doing, probably since his first baby, he did his best. And so many men, how you're doing doesn't necessarily hold you back from doing that. But he was there with Mary, and then he had to welcome the wise men, and he had to welcome the shepherds. And then he listened to the counsel of the wise men, who said that Herod wanted to kill the baby Jesus, and he had to lead them to Egypt. Joseph was obedient even though he didn't understand things. And if we're obedient, I think that like Joseph, all of a sudden we find ourselves surrounded by the miracle of God's grace. Joseph was humble and he was obedient, and all of a sudden he found himself maybe not front and center in the story, but right beside the greatest miracle that would ever happen in all of human history. And he was there to see it. And then he had to be Jesus' earthly father as he trained him away and trained him to become a carpenter. And then know when to take a step back as Jesus rose to become the Messiah of all and to preach God's word. And when you think about the life of Jesus, Jesus was obedient and Jesus was humble. And Jesus came as the Son of God into this world as the servant of all people. And then Jesus, in the greatest humility of all, laid down sort of his crown as a creator and came as a humble baby to share our life and our weaknesses and our frailty and all of life. And that is so much the center of the Christmas story. And so for all of us, I think we should ask ourselves, how humble are we? How obedient are we? Sometimes we don't understand all the things that life brings our way. Like Joseph, we don't understand all the miracle that's in front of us. But if we sort of listen to that still small voice of God and we humble ourselves before God and realize that somehow, in whatever's going on, that God has a plan and purpose in our life, and if we obey God, if we follow Him step by step, that somehow we may wake up and see the greatest miracle of all is God does something so miraculous that we ourselves couldn't even plan for it or imagine that, and we're like Joseph in that way. I think in some sense, when you think about Christmas, one of the things that I think about is you probably all, particularly guys, since you're talking about Joseph, you know, we get these toys sometimes for our kids, and then Christmas morning, as they're unwrapping them, we see those three dreaded words, "some assembly required." Have you ever seen that? That part is in really big letters, and then the directions are so small that you can't tell English from Japanese. So even if you wanted to use the direction, which I'm not very good at, it's really hard to do. So we put them aside and we start to do our best, and we realize that we get it half together and we get a bunch of extra parts, and we got to go back and get the magnifying glass out, probably if you're like me today and the eyes are starting to fail, and we have to follow directions. And in some sense, I think that's our life before God and God's word. And there's the magic and wonder of Christmas, but then we have to be obedient and listen to God's word and follow the directions that God has given us. But when we do, the magic and wonder of all that becomes so clear, because we find out that we're following Jesus, who loves us more than anyone else. And Jesus gave us life that we could know forgiveness and new life. And if we're humble and obedient like Joseph, then all of a sudden we're going to find that the light of peace becomes bright in our lives. And like this morning, when we light the candle of peace at Advent, we realize that the secret to peace sometimes is humility and obedience, even though we don't understand everything. And all of us, I think, have that desire to understand even the fine print and know what's going on in our life, and things happen and we know that we don't have the answer to that. We don't have the plan. We don't see the purpose. But if we're humble and we're obedient, we just trust God, we'll find that step by step, as we sort of follow the light, we'll find the peace, and we'll realize that there's a miracle there in the midst of all the turmoil and chaos that's bigger and brighter and more beautiful than we could ever imagine. One of the stories, sort of close with this, is we, growing up, one of the things we used to do back in the day was we put together those puzzles. And it'd be the puzzles, especially as we got older, that had like 1,000 pieces in the puzzle. This is before video games, so this is, I still like to do this. And so we get this puzzle. Sometimes our parents would let us open a present Christmas Eve, and it was always invariably something that would give us quiet, you know, so we'd have peace and quiet. So it was nothing exciting. We were all a little disappointed. But it'd be something like this puzzle that, and we dump it out, and we couldn't get it together the first night, and we sort of put it in pieces. But one of the things about a puzzle is you, first of all, have to not lose the box, you know, because it's got the picture on it. And sometimes that would happen in the midst of all the Christmas morning, all the hustle bustle and wrapping paper flying everywhere. My mother told us to clean it up. We throw away that box. And then if you've ever tried to put together one of these 1,000, you know, piece puzzles without the box, it's impossible. So I think one thing is to keep the big picture of life in focus for us on Christmas, because that's the picture of Jesus in this manger, of God come to us to give his life and to share his life and the greatest miracle of all. And then I think the other thing about puzzles sometimes is they have lots of different shapes and sizes and colors on those pieces of the puzzle. And one of the miracles of Christmas is you realize that God has given us gifts, each and every one of us. Not just the gift of his life, but the gift of our life. And all of us are different. We all have different shapes, and we all have different colors. And it's only when those pieces all come together that we have really the miracle of the church and the body of Christ the way it needs to be. And so all of us need to recognize what our shape is and our colors are and the place we have. But we also need to appreciate that everyone else has a color and a shape that's important too. And when we come together, we work together, there's amazing things that happen. And then finally, as we put that together, realize that it takes so much time and it's so much work, and then you finally look at that puzzle and it's a beautiful picture. Realize that as we come together like that, if we're guided by the picture of God's love in our hearts and lives, that you and I can be the body of Christ, the church, the way that we should be. I look at some of the gifts that are out there and the food for the food pantry and the gifts for families in need, and it's a beautiful picture of how God touches our hearts and lives. And just want to close with this part of, continue the illustration of the puzzle. There's this little girl in the doctor's office, and she was real impatient, and her father just got tired of finding her, so he took this picture out of the magazine, and he, picture of the world, and he tore it into a bunch of pieces, and then he put them down there, and he asked the girl to put together the picture of the world, and within just a few moments, she had put together the picture of the world, and her father asked her, hey, how do you know where all the pieces of the world go and all the countries? She said, well, it's easy. I turned them over, and there's a picture of a man, and I put together the picture of man, and the world put them together. And I think that's the truth of our lives. If we put the picture of Jesus as God come in humanity, in human form, together in the right place, then the rest of the world and all the turmoil and hustle and bustle and difficulties in our world will come together in the right picture. We might not understand everything, but we can have a peace amid all of that. I close with this reading from Billy Graham that I really love from the devotions. And he says this, it's called The Night of Life. And it's from John 8:12, a meditation on that, which says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. He writes this, this month, the birthday of Jesus Christ will be celebrated all over the world. It will be celebrated in various ways, in many languages, by people of all different races. For a few hours, many of the world will stop talking of satellites, rockets, and war. And for a few hours, they will talk of peace on earth and goodwill towards all people. People will exchange their gifts and talk about the Prince of Peace. Imagine the scene in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. It was the night of nights, and yet it had begun as every other night had before it. But it was to become the greatest, most significant night in all of history. This was the night that would conquer darkness and bring in the day when there would be no more night. This was the night when those who sat in darkness would see a great light. This was the night God brought into the world, the one who is the light of the world. May His light shine in your life this Christmas season. God bless us as we find the peace and place in our hearts and life, as we, like Joseph, and we, like following the steps of Jesus, find humility and obedience in our hearts and life. And when we do that, the light of peace will be the light that guides our way. Would you join me in praying? Gracious God, we're thankful for Your love this day, Your love which lights the darkest night. We pray for all of our hearts and lives that we would accept Your forgiveness and Your love and find the peace that's the greatest peace in all the world. We pray that peace would be part of our lives, and we would also share that peace and love with others. And together, may we light the darkest night through Your power and to Your glory. Amen.